relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends, to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, member of the National Security Education Board, former strategist to President Trump. We have an amazing show for you today. Mark Morgan, Gordon Chang, Alan Bukhari, and J.D. Vance. But first, let's set some goals for ourselves. The left, we understand. We understand their goals. They hate America. They don't necessarily want to destroy it. They want to create it, recreate it in their own image, which will mean destroying the America that we know and cherish. That's clear. That's understood. From opening the borders to creating a military that is woke and laughed at by our enemies, to creating school boards that are guided by their desire to indoctrinate our children politically, and to cutting out the role and the say of parents in the raising of their children and their education. We understand that. It's clear. And Americans who aren't political are rising to the task of recognizing that threat. But what about our side? What about those that are putative conservatives? Conservatives nominally, but not in actuality. They could be even more of a threat to us. You've heard it all before. The criticisms of President Trump, who was a very unusual quote-unquote Republican. He's so crude. Remember the Billy Bush tape. What about Stormy Daniels and all the others? Oh, and don't forget his tweets. People are still talking about President Trump's tweets, even though he doesn't even have a Twitter account. You've heard all of these criticisms and many, many others. The never-ending loop of Trump criticism, a critique which seems inconsequential when compared to what he actually did in office for 4 years. The record of his policy accomplishments, from crushing the physical caliphate of the jihadi group ISIS, the most successful modern jihadi group that he had even eclipsed Al-Qaeda, to creating a pre-Wuhan flu, a pre-COVID economy, the likes of which America and the world had never seen in size, in unemployment levels lower than we've ever seen since record-keeping began, especially for minorities. And then again, on top of that, the incontrovertible evidence of his support for conservative causes, such as the right to life, the sanctity of the unborn. Donald Trump is the first president, the first Republican ever to address the March for Life. I was there. These are the things that matter. These are the concrete matters of record that speak to his accomplishments. Yes, I worked for him. I still serve on one of his boards. I haven't received a resign by midnight letter from Biden. I guess he's too scared or forgotten. So you can call me biased, but I challenge anyone out there who calls themselves a conservative or a Republican to prove me that where it mattered most, the 45th president's achievements weren't some of the most impressive and traditionally conservative since Ronald Reagan left the White House. It's simply impossible to gainsay that. Now, despite that record, the success of what is now known as the America First conservatism that was MAGA, we still seem to have an insurmountable problem with our movement, namely the dominance of the establishment Republicans to this day. The rhinos, the Republican in name only, typified by the Mitt Romneys, the Romney McDaniels, the Mitch McConnells, people who at best must be labeled pseudo-conservatives. Do they really still hold all the cards across the nation? Is the MAGA movement condemned to slowly fizzling out because of an entrenched lobby-funded group of special interest politicians who want to creep back into the, quote, business-as-usual relationship that they've had with the Democrats for so very, very long? What should your response, what should my response be? As patriots who don't believe that this class represents anybody except themselves. When an election leaves you with a choice between a Democrat and a rhino, what should you do? Well, let's look at my recent experience with Glenn Youngkin. Glenn Youngkin is from Virginia. He says he's a conservative. He is the Republican candidate. And I've met him a few times, and I was impressed. And he said he wanted to come on the show, and we invited him. For months and months, he gave Mr. G, my producer, the runaround, and eventually I found out why. Because somebody on his campaign had issues with, took umbrage with a tweet of mine this time about Glenn Youngkin and his statements about the last election. So at least when it came to his staff, this man was surrounded by rhinos. But what did he do? This very, very successful businessman, former CEO of the Carlyle Group, bit the bullet. He came on America First. Yes, it was only for a few minutes, albeit I understand that. But he acquitted himself well. Some will say he's still trying to distance himself to a certain amount from President Trump. He wasn't able to use the MAGA phrase or the America First phrase. He said, put Virginia first. Well, that's okay. That's okay. So I think we're going to have to support him, especially if we look at who's running against him. One of the most reprehensible, sleazy, and despicable Democrats there are today working in the political arena, Terry McAuliffe. And it's time. It is neck and neck. One reason that Glenn Youngkin should receive our support is that in the last 2 weeks since he came on my show, the never-Trumpers have put him in their crosshairs. The Lincoln Project pedo protectors. Where is John Weaver? Has he been charged for his inappropriate sexual relations with underaged men? Or boys, I guess. And the Lincoln Project is so quiet about their fellow co-founder. I guess they're too busy protecting pedos. But if Glenn, you're being attacked by pedo protectors like the Lincoln Project. I think which side you're really on has now become apparent. So here's the lesson I have drawn for us all. This man is a solid candidate. He overcame the rhinos around him. And he's in it to win it. He's declared war on critical race theory. Somebody who has likewise done that and separated himself from the rhino establishment is J.D. Vance, who will be with us next. The end of the day, my old boss will run again in 2024. If he wins, he will need to excise the embedded rhinos across this nation and the swamp dwellers in this capital. In the meantime, it's up to us to keep the pressure relentlessly on all those who say they are conservatives or Republicans, and especially those who listen to the pseudo-conservatives who would rather lecture us about mean tweets. Rhinos still are too influential, but it's up to you and me to change that. And we can do it. And thus, save the Republic and crush the left. This is America First.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Terry just doesn't get it. He is in his little bubble. The man who was Virginia governor, who wants to be governor again, he's doubling, tripling down on CRT. Count three, Terry McAuliffe.
We've got to go back K to six. Early on, we've got to start teaching, talking about these issues much earlier than we've done it before. And we don't do a good job in our education system talking about diversity, inclusion, openness, and so forth. We don't. We've got our textbooks. But, you know, there has to be a big part of how do you fit into the social work of our nation and our fabric? How is it that we deal with one another is, to me, is as important as, you know, your math class or your English class and so forth.
K to six. Math, not so much. Diversity and inclusion. I know our first guest is going to have something to say about that. He is stirring up the political world with his candidacy for the Senate in Ohio. J.D. Vance, welcome back to America First.
Thank you for having me.
You must be watching with a very, very close eye the last 10 days in Virginia, the whole CRT doubling down. Is this a phenomena? Are you witnessing the pushback on a similar scale in Ohio? How buoyed are you that Americans are finally waking up, J.D.?
Look, I'm very excited about what I'm seeing, you know, certainly in Virginia, but also in Ohio. It feels like there's a real grassroots movement brewing on the conservative movement right now. And it's, you know, just like in times past, it's not just the politicos. It's not just the establishment folks. Sometimes not even people who are that political, but they're just very fired up about what their kids are teaching. You know, their kids are coming home crying, upset because they're being told that they're a bad person, depending on the color of their skin, and they're just fed up about it. And I think it may very well take down Terry McAuliffe, but I certainly think it is the beginning of a movement all across this country that's going to take down a lot of Democrats all over the nation.
In the break, we were talking to my team here, and somebody said, "Well, it's neck and neck, and if Glenn loses by 3 points, you know, that's a big deal in any other normal election." And here's the reaction I have, JD. There is no such thing as a normal election after 2016. Do we have any faith that there will be a normal election? Talk to us about the recent breaking news about Facebook and the censorship of conservatives. You've written a piece about it. How do we get back to quote unquote normal, JD?
Oh man, we got a lot of work to do. Facebook did two things basically in the 2020 election, one of which we've known about for a while. They basically censored information that was negative about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. They promoted information that was negative about Donald Trump. And I really believe that swung the election in a really important way. But I think more profoundly, I think that Zuckerberg, what we're learning is that he put $420 million to buy up local boards of elections. He did it in an extremely partisan way. And I think it basically rigged the election. I mean, all of us are sort of scratching our heads wondering what really went on in 2020. And I think a big piece of the puzzle is understanding that it was not the people's representatives that were counting ballots, that were canvassing elections. It was partisan hacks that were installed by one of the most powerful people in our country.
So, have we seen enough of a response to that, a requisite pushback in the last 10 months? Are we going to see it just happen next year? Will it be $1 billion, JD?
You know, I don't think there will be $1 billion, but look, this is where humans have the ability to push back against this stuff, right? You know, we need to be men of action in this moment, and Americans need to say, look, no more of this. We need to actually ban Zuckerberg money coming in and buying up Democratic votes in our election, or we're never going to have a free and fair election in this country ever again. People are woken up to it, so I think there's going to be a little bit more hesitancy from people like Zuckerberg to go in and buy the election. But when they try to do it, and they will, Seb, we need to be ready to push back. We need to be filing lawsuits. We need to be, you know, getting up and protesting. We need to be aware of what's going on. And I think I'm optimistic because we are at least aware of what happened now, but we can't just sit on our hands and expect things to get better. We have to be willing to fight for the integrity of our constitutional republic.
Now, I may have been in the White House as strategist to the president, but I didn't fully realize how we won in 2016 until it was 6 months into the administration. I was told by a certain Mr. Bannon to read a certain book called Hillbilly Elegy that, of course, you are the author of. Everybody needs to read it to understand 2016. You need to support this man. He is in the vein of the citizen politician. Go today to jdvance.com. JD, the people, your family that you wrote about, the category of what the president called the forgotten men and women in America, where do they stand right now? You're campaigning every single day, so you must have a better sense than most. Whose side are they on, or have they given up? Where are they today?
No, they haven't given up. I mean, look, they definitely want Republicans to fight for the integrity of our elections. That's definitely something I hear a lot about when I'm going out and campaigning. But man, they're still these are our people, right? We're still very fired up about this country. We still love this country. We're really angry by what we're seeing. Look, the crisis at the southern border, the drugs pouring in, the illegal aliens pouring in. People are terrified about inflation, but they absolutely have not given up. And it's one of the things that just gives me incredible optimism about the American spirit is, look, you go to these school board meetings, you see parents, not especially political people, rising up against the madness of this critical race theory. It's got to make you feel good about this country, but they need people who are willing to fight for them, right? Because citizens can't do it all alone. They need political leaders. They need business leaders. They need everybody. Everybody's part of this movement to get up and actually take a stand.
And what do they think about the threat that is posited by the rhinos that are left here in the swamp? You gave a superb response to a question in a recent interview. Somebody said, how are you going to prevent yourself from becoming a rhino? And JD said, well, I'm going to surround myself with people I respect and love and not the lobbyist strategist class in D.C. So is that enough? What do we do about the rhinos, JD?
Well, I think it's one of the great takeaways of the last 5 years. You know, President Trump's administration had a lot of successes. One of the things it revealed is that the leadership of the Republican Party was not on board when it came to immigration, when it came to trade, when it came to reshoring American manufacturing jobs. So I think we have to be really careful. We have to look, you know, who's endorsing our politicians? Which organizations are backing them? What are they actually saying about some of the critical and controversial issues? Are they paying lip service to conservative values but actually shying away from the things the media says you're not allowed to talk to? There are all of these ways to sniff out rhinos. But at the end of the day, you know, I think Trump is going to run again in 2024. I think he's going to win in 2024. I think he'll be the president on January 2025 because we are awake to what's going on with some of the political situation, some of the election boards and so forth. But if Trump gets in there and he's surrounded by people who don't actually believe in the core agenda, we're still going to have problems. One man by himself cannot do it. We actually need a whole movement. And that's one of the reasons I'm running for Senate in the first place.
Yeah, I have a few thoughts on that myself. JDVance.com is the website. Last question, JD. What size T-shirt do you wear?
I wear a large, at least depending on the brand.
All right. Well, these are made in America. They're from our store. We made them for when the president came on the show. They say, if you're woke, you're a loser. And we're going to send you one of those T-shirts. Why? Because that's who we are here. Go to SebGorkaStore.com. That's SEBGORKA, SebGorkaStore.com. Your call's next here on America First.
This is America First, and here's your Sebastian Gorka.
Now, my concern is, how do you enforce it, Don? I think that you'll get laws. I don't think that the right fringe of, they just want to censor us. The data is too obvious. They kill it on social media, the righty fringe. They get the most traction. They have the most sites with the most views. They're not being censored.
How stupid is Fredo? He says the righty fringe kills it with the most views. Then how can they be the fringe? English. It's a challenge for Fredo Cuomo. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We're back, and we're delighted. He has graced us with his presence in studio. None other than Breitbart's chief big tech investigative journalist, Alan Bukhari. Welcome to America First.
Thanks, Seb. Thanks for the kind intro.
So, Facebook and censorship of the fringe, like Breitbart, the most interactive, biggest number of hits site in the planet. How big is this story?
It's pretty massive. What amuses me about it is that all of these leaks coming out right now, they're coming from the Facebook's most left-wing employees who are upset that Facebook hasn't done enough to censor sites like Breitbart News.
Yeah, so this is whistleblowers who are angry that there isn't more censorship.
Yes, but they've really shot themselves in the foot this time because they've inadvertently revealed what Facebook has done to censor Breitbart News and other conservative publishers. Reduced traffic by 20% to Breitbart, by I think 18% to the Washington Times, 16% to Western Journal, and I think 11% to the Epoch Times. So they revealed all that, and you know that's the real story here, not that Facebook isn't clamping down even further, which is what they want.
So you've literally written the book hashtag deleted Big Tech's battle to erase the Trump movement and steal the election. What does this mean? Is it, because it's hard to interpret. I mean, on the face of it, they're stupid. I mean, the woman who is the whistleblower, Frances Haugen, she's in the unit that actually censored the Hunter Biden laptop story. She clearly wants more censorship, not less. Is there any scenario in which this plays to their strengths, or have they just let the cat out of the bag, Alum?
Well, I think they started off by trying to make this kind of bipartisan thing. You know, they said, Facebook is addictive to children, it's dangerous to teenagers. So they're going for the bipartisan angle, but pretty soon it became apparent what they were really going after. And, you know, all of this news came out. Frances Haugen is being backed by Pierre Omidyar, one of the biggest left-wing billionaire philanthropists. She's being represented by someone who used to work for Barack Obama. her law firm is the same law firm that represented the Ukraine whistleblower. Because everyone remembers the bogus Ukraine second impeachment trial.
Right.
So this is clearly an agent of the establishment. This is an astroturfed campaign. And, you know, it's telling that this is the whistleblower who gets turned into a celebrity by the media, and not the not all the whistleblowers who came forward to me at Breitbart or who came forward to Project Veritas to blow the whistle on censorship.
They're not celebrated.
They're not.
Or Project Veritas whistleblowers are not even reported on.
No, they're completely ignored because they're not saying things that the media wants to hear. They're saying Facebook takes sides. They're saying Facebook should do less censorship. They were waiting for a whistleblower who aligned with their values. And obviously it's someone who comes from the unit that censored the Hunter Biden story.
So, again, what is the end effect of all of this? Does this weaken the censorious position of Silicon Valley? Or is this just a little blip for them and it'll be swept under the carpet? You know, what is your prognostication?
I'm quite optimistic that, well, I'm optimistic in the sense that I think nothing will happen. What they're clearly aiming for...
You mean in terms of more censorship?
More censorship, yes. What they're clearly aiming for is to generate a lot of political momentum and get new congressional acts, new executive action to pressure these tech companies to do more censoring. That's why they're all coming out now while the Democrats own the Senate, the House, and the White House. But I don't see that having much traction. I think, you know, as you said, the cat's been out of the bag. We know what their game is, and I don't think they're going to get to 60 votes for any new law in the Senate. The only danger is, of course, executive action.
Your reaction since we last spoke? We have the announcement last, what was it, Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday or Tuesday, that the Truth Social, the new platform that President Trump is going to beta test next month, will launch allegedly first quarter of next year. The company, the holding company that is involved in this new media conglomerate, quadrupled its share value in less than 40 hours on the stock exchange. Is that an indicator of how thirsty people are for an alternative?
Well, it certainly shows that there's a massive market for all of this. And, you know, it's important to remember why this is happening. It's happening because every single social media platform banned the president of the United States. It was an extraordinary moment. You even had, like, the socialist president from Mexico saying this is unacceptable. You can't censor a world leader like that, right. You know, even if his politics are the polar opposite of mine. That's why this is happening. But, yes, there is a massive market just because so many people have been censored. Now, the downside to all of these alternative social media platforms is that their user base is going to be mostly conservative, so you're kind of going to ghettoize yourself. You're going to cut yourself off from people who are on the fence, voters who might be undecided. Now, Trump needs his own platform because he's been banned, but ultimately, I think we ultimately need to fix the bias in the mainstream platforms as well.
But if, as it's being reported, it will be a streaming service as well, a content provider, that could appeal to lots of people who are just fed up with woke content.
That is quite interesting, because I think there is a lot more opportunity for, like, streaming platforms and video platforms to disrupt, you know, platforms like YouTube and Twitch, because when you have, like, a dedicated video, someone who produces video a lot, they get a dedicated following that will actually be a follow on them to a new platform if they go there. We see this with Rumble, of course, which is, you know, what we're on now. Extraordinary growth. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I think with Twitter and Facebook, it's a bit more difficult to disrupt.
What does it mean? Explain it to us. You're the senior tech reporter for Breitbart. That Facebook wants to change its name. What does that mean? Are they in trouble?
That's very strange.
Isn't it? Because Coca-Cola doesn't change its name.
If
things are going well, you don't change it.
Yeah.
Ford doesn't become, you know, banana. So what's going on?
Yeah, there's something that, like, tech companies, like Google wants to change the name to Alphabet because it wanted to avoid charges of being a monopoly. So, we're just Alphabet and we have all these different companies. And Facebook is doing something similar. They just, you know, they've been attacked by the press so often. I think they're just, you know, making journalists' lives more difficult by, you know, changing their name. And, you know, you have to think about, like, the search engines as well. When you search for Facebook versus when you search for the new name, it's almost like starting a clean slate.
Okay.
Frankly, I wonder why people who've been cancelled by the media don't do it. Just change your name, then your Google search results aren't a problem anymore.
Okay. We had the president's son, we had Donald Trump Jr. on my Newsmax show on Sunday, who discussed the whys and the wherefores, the objectives of this new platform. If you had 5 minutes with President Trump and his new team for Truth Social, what words of caution, what advice would you give a person who had, you know, on one platform, 90 million followers, who had at least 74 million vote for him, who clearly has a potential instant market that can just be created out of ex nihilo? What trap should he avoid when he sets up next year?
The big thing to avoid, and we saw Parler fall victim to this, is, you know, be careful of what hosting provider you use. Because Parler relied
on Amazon,
and then they were knocked out for like months and months. Right. Gab was knocked out for a while, but then they did a very clever, smart thing. They built their own physical service that they own, and you know that's a very drastic step. But you know,
expensive
expensive, yeah. But in the times we live in, it's sometimes necessary. I would say the other thing to be aware of is payment processing.
Explain why that's a vulnerability.
So, you know, our payment system is like increasingly centralized. So, you know, Visa and MasterCard, you got those two companies controlling everything. And in terms of the actual processing companies, you have PayPal, you have Stripe, and that's it. And PayPal and Stripe have like kicked off conservatives from the platform, effectively cutting them off from receiving credit card donations through the internet. So that is something to consider. I personally would institute cryptocurrency payments immediately, because that's a very interesting payment system that really can't be censored.
Interesting.
And we've seen people who have been, you know, lost access to their bank accounts, lost access to PayPal, lost access to Stripe, still being able to receive support from their followers through cryptocurrency, just because it's so hard to knock offline. Impossible, in fact.
And when it comes to branding, so you would say, which I have to give him credit, Don Jr. said, this isn't just for conservatives, we're open to anybody. Would that be part of your marketing for a new platform?
Certainly, it's worth a try to do that, because I think the Silicon Valley's rules are so expansive now that actually you will probably start to see left-wingers get censored as well. Reddit already knocked off one of the biggest left-wing subreddits for the Chapo Trap House podcast back in the summer of 2020. They did that as an excuse because they wanted to get rid of the biggest Trump community as well. But, you know, that was a very big community, and, you know, they had to go and find their own servers after that.
All right. You've heard it here, the recommendations from the man who knows. He's covering big tech for Breitbart.com, and they're so afraid of Breitbart.com. It's got to be a good sign. Follow him at LibertarianBlue on Twitter. Are you on the other platforms as well?
I am. I'm on Gab at AB, on Parler at Allenby, and on Getter, and I might join the new one as well. We'll see.
Sounds good. In the meantime, educate yourself. Hashtag deleted. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios, just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C.
From the ReliefFactor.com studios, this is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
When you're a gubernatorial candidate for the Democrats and you lose the Daily Beast, there might be a problem. This popped up on my Twitter feed from the Daily Beast. Terry McAuliffe said that there were 1,100 kids hospitalized with COVID. There were 35. Oops, getting fact-checked by the Daily Beast. Well, maybe they're jumping ship as well. It's time to talk about the truth of the southern border, what's happening. The National Guard has been deployed by Texas to try and stop the imminent caravan. Do they have a shot? Let's ask the man who ran the border for President Trump, former commissioner of CBP, Customs and Border Protection, good friend of the show, Mark Morgan. Welcome back to America First.
Thanks as always, Sebastian.
So tell us what's going on in Texas. What do we know about the caravan? Is the Guard going to be enough? And are you impressed with the current leadership of CBP down there on the border?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, but let's talk about the caravans. Look, it's very clear, and from the interviews that are being conducted, they've been broadcast, I think the American people are finally getting some information, being awakened, Sebastian, that they know what this is about. They're coming here for one reason, and that this administration under President Biden has opened our borders and provided the welcoming mat and incentivizing illegal aliens to come. We saw the numbers, Border Patrol alone, 1.7. If you add in our ports, it's over almost 2 million individuals have come. But what's really important and why these caravans keep coming is because what's behind the numbers. It's not just historic high numbers, Sebastian, but it's the fact that this administration in the fiscal year have released over 600,000 illegal aliens in the United States, into every state in this country, as well as, because our borders are open, over 400,000 have gotten away and made their way to every town, city, and state. And right now, under the current leadership of Chief Raul Ortiz, I'm shocked at some of the things that are coming out of his mouth right now.
Under what conditions, can you explain to us, when you say that 600,000 plus have been released, under what legal auspices and with what expectation are these illegal aliens released into American society, Mark?
Look, this is absolutely a policy decision by this administration, meaning no consequences. Look, in the Trump administration, we have the Remain in Mexico program, which we've talked about multiple times, that it stopped the incentivization. That being, if you came to our borders with family by court order, you had to be released into the interior United States. We stopped that under President Trump, and it was very effective. this administration removed that immediately. And what happened? Once again, if you come to our border as a family, catch and release is back on and you're released. Here's what happened. You come to our border as a family, COVID, no documents, asylum, no asylum. It really doesn't matter. This administration is going to release you. You're going to get a plane ticket anywhere where the illegal alien wants to go in the United States. And on the back end, we know that they've removed 90% of ICE's enforcement authority, so they know that they're going to stay here.
I was listening to other news reports with regards to this caravan and other nations. There are credible reports, Mark, that there are numerous individuals who are being picked up on terror watch lists that are making their way towards the border. How serious are those reports?
Yeah, so that's very serious. Look, we are talking about right now, I've heard the same reports through the Darien Gap. As they go through that adverse terrain, it's owned by a criminal organization. The reporting coming out is they have actually intercepted multiple people, what I understand to be on the FBI's terror screening database. And keep in mind, this fiscal year as well, Border Patrol apprehended 14 illegal aliens on the FBI's terror screening database. But of course, you won't see that data anywhere because this administration refuses to be honest and transparent with this country. And that's why the former chief Rodney Scott, has said from day one, he's absolutely right. This is about border security, and border security is national security. If you open your borders up to one threat or one crisis, you're opening your borders up to the vast, complex set of threats we face, including every aspect impacting our public safety, our public health, and our national security. That's the fact.
We're talking to the former CBP Commissioner, Mark Morgan. He is a fellow with the Conservative Mothership, the Heritage Foundation, and also with FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. The breaking news is that the National Guard assets in Texas are being deployed to try and help stem the tide of this caravan. What is your experience in your decades of service to this nation when you have different assets working with each other on a specific mission? In the UK, where I served in the British Army, the Army could support the police, but the police were in the driving seat if there was some kind of emergency. Very different from, of course, the posse comitatus here in the United States. Is there a template? Is this going to make a big difference, or is this a stopgap measure, in your opinion?
Look, I think it's a little bit of both. But right now, like take Del Rio, for example, 224 miles, Sebastian, in that one sector alone. Had it not been for Texas DPS and the Texas National Guard, the Border Patrol would have lost complete control of that 224 miles for at least a week, if not more. That's a fact. And again, that's why the comments from Chief Raul Ortiz and the Border Patrol is so troubling right now. But make no mistake, Texas, it's making a difference. First of all, Sebastian, you and I have talked before. This is about consequences. If you don't apply consequences to those that are breaking the law, disrespecting the rule of law, shocker, they're going to keep coming. They're going to keep breaking the law. But by sending Texas DPS down there, one thing that they're making an impact on are gotaways. Again, 400,000 gotaways because 40%, 50% of Border Patrol resources are pulled off the line to process, abdicating their national security mission to be professional illegal alien facilitators into this country. Right now, the stats that I'm getting from Texas is, so far this fiscal year, between the Guard and the troopers, they've apprehended 150,000 illegal aliens, 8,000 state charges, 6,000 of those felonies, $13 million in currency, and 1,600 weapons, as well as tens of thousands of pounds of narcotics.
Wow.
Coming in. I'd say they're making a difference.
Has there been any further information? It seems, Biden came out of the White House to try and tip the scales with regards to that fake photograph or that exploitation of the CBP officers riding their horses. Has anything happened? Any consequences been for those officers who are just trying to do their job, Mark?
No, and look, from day one, secretary, which is unconscionable, he's a former prosecutor, the DHS secretary, saying, hey, we're going to wrap this up in a week or so. Look, I've been on the internal affairs investigation before. I knew that just can't be done. That's just not right. It's unfair to put a deadline on it. But look, I go back to the chief of Border Patrol. As the Secretary Mayorkas and the President of the United States and the mainstream media vilified these agents, scapegoated them, ruined their careers and their reputation, Chief Raul Ortiz, he was silent. And nowhere, he made no public statement with respect to supporting these men and women and correcting the errors and inaccurate information was out there. And now the same chief has just said that he's extremely concerned about the Lone Star operation from Texas. It's unbelievable. I've been doing this for 35 years, and you alluded to this. Every single time, from local to federal level, when we work together as law enforcement agencies, we were always more effective. The comments being made by Chief Ortiz, you know, Sebastian, real quick, he's also saying that he's concerned that the illegal aliens now, because Texas is involved making arrests, that they're not going to be able to claim asylum. First of all, he knows overwhelming the majority of the claims are false, but he also knows better because that's just not true.
Right. We'll continue with Mark Morgan. He's just started getting going. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
What we must also recognize is that the reduction in policing currently in our city and the lawlessness that is happening is due to two things. One, the police have chosen to not fulfill their oath of office and to provide the public safety they are owed to the citizens they serve.
Wow. Ilhan Omar. The rising crime in America is a result of the police not fulfilling their oath of office. Has nothing to do with her and her compatriots wanting to defund the police and not support the police and pull them out when they're actually trying to protect American citizens in completely messed up places destroyed by Democrats like Portland. Incredible. Had to share that with you, especially since we are talking about law enforcement with our special guest, Mark Morgan. We like to share with you historic moments on this day in history. Jim, former member of the intelligence community, thank you for sending me this email just moments ago. On this day in history, a raid by U.S. Special Forces in 2019 killed the quote-unquote caliphate, the caliph of the ISIS caliphate, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Job well done. May he rot in hell forever. We are back with former commissioner for this, CBP, Customs and Border Protection Agency. Let me just ask you, I wanted to talk about numbers and figures for illegals in the last 12 months, but that clip, the crime wave, Mark, is the fault of law enforcement officers. Have you heard that?
Look, Sebastian, I'm going to be unprofessional here. I'm going to admit it. She's a clown. I'm sorry. There's no other adjective. What she says in today's environment is of no moment to me. But look, I'm actually glad that they continue to do that because I think they've overplayed their hands. I think there's a lot of individuals in this country that are having buyer's remorse that are finally being awakened to what the Democratic Party and the progressive left is doing to this country. So I hope she keeps making ridiculous, dumb statements like that over and over again.
Yeah, no, that is helpful for those who believe and who want others to wake up to the truth if she continues to do things like that. Okay, let's talk about numbers again. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we were looking at 2 million illegals crossing the border at the end of this year. At this rate, it could be more, couldn't it, Mark?
Oh, it will be. Look, the numbers are going to keep going down. And here's another thing they continue to do, Sebastian. So the headlines for September were the numbers have dipped. It's still almost 200,000. They dipped from an all-time high, from an all-time high, from an all-time high. It's the spin and outright lies is a lunacy. So this calendar year, it's going to far surpass 2 million. And let's not forget, you know why the numbers dipped a little bit in September? It's a secret. Because more got away, yeah. Right? I mean, you know, go back to the 400,000. And Sebastian, what we don't talk about are the inadmissibles that come to the port of entry that, by definition, inadmissibles should not be allowed into the country. But because of this administration's policy, they are. You could tack on another 100,000, 150,000 otherwise inadmissible aliens that were allowed into the country on top of the 600,000 that Border Patrol let in, on top of the 400,000 that got by.
I want to do it. I've done it before. I think it's super important. It doesn't get enough play, or people don't get you to do it. We've got a minute left. Mark Morgan, talk to the people who are listening right now. We have people who listen to this show who are working the border issues. What is your message to the officers of the agency you just ran?
Look, to all my brothers and sisters out there, I continue to think about you every single day, continue to have the utmost respect. And I know the overwhelming majority of the American people do too, even though this president, this administration, your secretary and your chief doesn't appear to feel the same way we do. And I tell you what, you're heroes. Every single day as you're being vilified, you still get up, put the badge in your chest and do everything to secure our borders and protect this nation. Thank you for what you do every day.
Thank you, Mark Morgan, and I want to express our gratitude to you. Mark, you're a big guy. You're about as big as I am. What size T-shirt do you wear, Morgan?
Extra large.
Extra large. Let's do that. Let's show our appreciation for him. Guys, from the website, show the website. What T-shirt should we give Mark? Everything's made in America. It's almost Christmas time. Shall we give him the America First T-shirt, or the If You're Woke, You're a Loser, the presidential one, or the vaccine mandates of My Body, My Choice? I know. He's so America First. Let's give him the America First T-shirt. I've got his address. We'll get that to him because I think he enjoys the MyPillow stuff we've sent him.
I was wearing a slip today, Sebastian.
Of course you were. Go to SebGorkaStore.com to get yours today. Made in America in time for Christmas. That's SebGorkaStore, SebGorkaStore.com. God bless you, Mark, and I'll see you on my Newsmax show. This is America First here on the Salem Radio Network. If you call this station, please do so from a phone that is not connected to one of the big cell phone providers. Why? Because they're not on your side. They're leftists, and they fund things like Planned Parenthood and gun control organizations. Go with the only Christian conservative cell phone company in the United States with the same cell phone tower coverage of the big guys. They are on your side. They share your values and they fund organizations that are based on the things you believe in, such as the sanctity of life, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. Make the switch today. You can keep your old number. Call 972-PATRIOT or call, or just go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. You can make the change today. It's super easy, and you will be with those who share your values. 972-PATRIOT, that's 972-728-7468, promo code Gorka, or just go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.